This is a Podfic recording, created for the Pod Together Challenge 2012. The story is by Busaiko and the reading is by Myfic. The fandom is Stargate Atlantis. It's Jen and a team fic. Note that there are serious warnings on the fic. For example, one of the tags is horror. You may want to read these. They're at the end of the fic on either Busaiko or Myfic's archive of our own accounts. The summary is: John's lying to Ronan. Carry me home. Ronan wakes with a gasp that sounds like a scream, his head pounding. Someone's touching him. He whips his arm out and strikes someone who says, "Oh, fuck!" Ronan grins and drags his knees up to plant his feet on the floor. "Lie still," John says, and Ronan's shoulders are pressed down, John's hands gentle but firm. He sounds the way he does when he's trying to get Torrin to sleep. Ronan could grab John's arms and snap both of them. It'd be easy. It'd feel good. Instead, he sucks in a breath, and then another, and makes his muscles loosen and relax, lying in wait. "Yeah," John murmurs, and one hand pats Ronan awkwardly. "I gotcha." Ronan reaches up to figure out why he can't see, and John catches his wrist. It's like the man has no idea how much danger he's in. "You need to leave the bandages alone," John says, like he's in any position to give orders. "And just lie as still as possible until Rodney and Taylor bring Carson here. You remember what happened?" Ronan tries to open his eyes and feels the drag of tape, and lets that go for now. He keeps breathing deep and slow, deliberately not thinking about how he might be blind, about fighting for his life in the dark. He can smell damp and decay and hear the drip of water into puddles. There are scurrying noises that echo along the stone floor, more like insects than rodents. The air is cool, with a steady, dank wind. Underground, Ronan thinks. Not a cave. The echoes are wrong for that, broken by walls and furniture. A basement. And then he has a flash of memory of landing the jumper in a jungle clearing, of Rodney walking through a door saying, "Only good thing about Michael, he knew how to beat the heat."
"A lab,"
Ronan says. His voice sounds terrible, his throat burning like he'd spent hours screaming.
"Michael."
"Yeah," John says, sounding pleased. He picks up Ronan's left hand and starts winding strips of bandage down his fingers. "You walked into, I guess, a booby trap. You're going to be fine," he adds. And it's funny how not reassuring it is when John tries to lie. "You went into convulsions. It did something to your eyes, which Carson will know how to fix," John adds, and wraps the bandage around Ronan's palm over and over before tying it off. There's the quick tug of a very sharp knife cutting through cloth, and Ronan tenses again. Sucks not even realizing how close John was with a blade in his hand. "Don't mean to freak you out, buddy," John says, and starts wrapping Ronan's right hand. "My hands feel fine," Ronan says, flexing. His palms are sensitive, irritated by the bandaging, like it's rubbing over the raw skin of a newly healed burn. He wonders if he was burned on his face and his hands. He doesn't feel any pain. He feels like he swallowed down lightning and lived to claim its power for his own. Maybe his face melted, like in that movie of John's. Ronan hopes not. John stops him from moving his fingers with a firm grip and a tug on the bandages. "Your hands don't look too great from where I'm sitting, so just let me work on my mummy-making merit badge here." Something skitters by on the floor. John jerks in either surprise or revulsion, and Ronan grins, feeling a dark, mean pleasure at that. He can hear John's heartbeat. John's voice is controlled, and so is his breathing, but the rapid beat Ronan hears tells him that John's scared. If he concentrates, the sound swells, loud enough to fill the room, hot blood moving fast, wanting to propel his body into battle or desertion. but instead, John breathes down his panic and stays, ignoring the battle drum's call. Ronan doesn't know what John's afraid of, but he enjoys the show. John acts like he's in charge, but he's not as smart as Rodney, or as good a leader as Taylor, or strong like Ronan. He's head of the team because they indulge him. But Ronan's sick of pretending that they're friends. He thinks it's time to take what's his. He lets the power that he's hidden dormant under his facade of calm burst out, launching up from the floor and grabbing John by the front of his jacket. He swings John around towards where he guesses there's a wall or a tall shelf or something. John hits it hard. Ronan hears something like bone break, but John's dropped into a low crouch, using his body weight to rip free from Ronan's grip. Ronan reaches for the bandages, because he's sure John's lying to him, sure he can see just fine. And if John is lying, then Ronan's going to kick his ass. But then there's a familiar whine, and the world drops away in a wash of red and pain.
Oh.
Ronan sucks air in hard as he snaps awake, and then grimaces as he realizes he just gave himself away. His eyes are still bandaged, his fingers muffled with fabric, and John's hand is patting his stomach, like that's going to calm Ronan down like a tired toddler. John's also humming under his breath, a bit wetly, and Ronan realizes that's what woke him, the monotonous rhythm setting his teeth on edge, and the smell of new blood. "Hey, Sleeping Beauty," John says. He coughs and spits, and Ronan thinks, that's going to attract every predator down here. John says in his home country, hunting skills aren't something a kid has to learn to become an adult. John never learned how to think like prey. It makes him sloppy. Ronan can hear the insects around them now, growing bolder, he thinks. He can hear the scurry of their feet on the walls. Sometimes they run overhead. He bets John would freak out if he knew. He can still hear John's heartbeat, still fast like a watchtower drum warning of fire. "You shot me," Ronan says, his own anger and inferno only barely banked.
"Yep,"
John agrees.
"You broke my doze and ripped my favourite jacket. Is that crap of Michael's in your system?" he adds. "Don't beat yourself up about it. Also, don't beat me up."
"You shot me with my own gun."
Ronan lets his anger permeate the words like a threat. John snorts and coughs again. Ronan wonders if John's lying about how badly he's hurt. He hopes so. He knows John's fucking with him. John should pay for that.
"I'll give it right back as soon as you're not planning on killing me," John says.
The words are a little too sharp for a joke, and Ronan hears John move, the susurration of fabric and scuff of boot soles, and percussive heartbeat, giving away John's position as clearly as if he was wearing herd beast's bells. Ronan's familiar with post-stunner innovation, but he's mad enough that he's sure he can move when he needs to. He licks his cracked and dry lips and pretends to smile, pushing up on his elbows.
"Thirsty."
John's heart skips a beat, and Ronan lets his teeth show a little more, parodying friendliness. But then John huffs and mutters something under his breath, and Ronan hears the rasp of screw threads as a canteen lid's removed.
"Here," John says.
Ronan sits up and reaches out one hand. John presses the canteen against his palm, not letting go until Ronan's got a firm grip. Where John held the metal, it's warm. Ronan drinks sloppily, then twists the cap on and waggles the canteen like bait. John takes it, and Ronan pulls down with one hand and grabs John with the other, twisting so when John falls, Ronan's perfectly positioned to pin John down. John sucks at self-defense.
"Fuck you,"
he says, John twisting under him. He leans his weight against John's chest, testing to find where John's hurt from earlier, and when he finds the spot that makes John try to jerk away, he digs his elbow in. With his other hand, he gropes at John's waist for his gun, finds it, slides it across the floor, listening to remember the position. He can feel John's pulse hammering through his whole body now.
"Easy," John says,
and tries to yank out the hand Ronan's got a knee on.
I'm not the enemy.
You took my gun.
John breathes out impatiently.
You were endangering the team.
You call yourself my friend.
Because that's what we are,
John says, and coughs.
Buddies. Got each other's backs.
Then why are you lying to me?
Ronan roars, frustration breaking him like a dam. He shakes John, cracking his head back against the floor so he'll stop struggling, and finally has to punch him in the chest over and over and over to get him to stay still. The insects are buzzing so loudly in the room that Ronan can hardly think, but he's aware of having shown John his place and shut him the fuck up. He gets up and finds his gun and stuns Shepard for good measure. Make the bastard think twice before crossing him. Maybe Ronan will get some respect when John wakes up. If not, well, this is a lesson he doesn't mind teaching. Ronan's got a horror of losing his eyesight. It's not hard to defend himself against one human with crappy defences, but he doesn't want to fight the wraith in the dark. He fingers the bandages, weighs the evidence. His hands work just fine, even with Shepard's careful wrappings winding off. Nothing hurts. He can move his eyes behind the tape. The only stink of blood comes from Shepard. Ronan undoes his eyes carefully, squinting, swearing as his small hairs tug off with the tape. Everything's blurry and greenish, out of focus, indistinct. Shepard's just a dark, still shadow on the floor. Ronan shoves the bandages in his pocket, so he can put them back on if he develops any worrying symptoms, and finds the door to the stairs. He climbs. Rodney and Taylor are back, finally. Stupid to send for a doctor when Ronan's fine. He feels better than he has in years. He meets them just as they're unloading from the jumper. Rodney's bitching as usual, and Beckett's carrying big hard-sided medicine cases. Ronan, Taylor says, and gives him a smile. She's better than Shepard is at hiding the rapid trip of her heartbeat, but the wariness in her greeting hurts. Ronan knows her. He can feel the pull of like to like. She takes a breath and glances at Rodney, who's holding his little hand scanner and looking abstracted.
I am glad to see you well.
Whatever, Ronan says. Let's go.
Aren't you forgetting someone?
Rodney asks. And at the same time, Beckett says,
But what about the Colonel?
Taking a nap, Ronan says, and meets the challenge in Taylor's eyes with a hard stare. He was being a dick, Ronan explains, and flexes his arms. He feels like he could kill 1,000 wraith, rip them limb from limb, burn every trace of them into oblivion, blow them out of the skies. He wants off this backwater planet. He wants blood on his hands. Rodney gives Taylor a pleading look and holds his scanner up.
According to this, Shepard's sleeping. There's a terrible pleading gentleness in his voice, and his heartbeat is as fast as a bird's wings.
Beckett sets his packs down heavily and disappears into the jumper. His fear isn't nearly as interesting as Rodney and Taylor's. Ronan wonders if that's because of what Michael did to him, too.
I can't lose Ronan as well, Taylor says, simply.
Ronan can feel emotion washing off her in waves.
Rodney.
Rodney pockets the scanner and takes his weapon out of its holster. Ronan's glad for the challenge and to have yet another demonstration of how little friendship and loyalty mean to these people from another galaxy. Ronan feels for his knives. Gone. Shepard must have taken them, but decides Rodney will look just as good red-faced and choking for air. Beckett's heartbeat doesn't give any signal that he's about to shoot Ronan in the back. Ronan gives him points for that, even as he's falling to his knees from the stunner blast.
One more, Taylor says, her voice distant, like she's speaking at the top of a well. Even a newly made wraith will be at its strongest.
When he is just fed well, aye, Beckett says. The next stunner blast topples Ronan over. Taylor shoves at his shoulder with her boot until he's rolled onto his back, staring dazed at the sky. Ronan can see the stars and the pale green sky and hear the life in the forest around him. The shrill of wings, the click of chitinous exoskeletons.
You can fix this? Rodney asks, far at the edge of consciousness. With the retrovirus?
Yes, Beckett says distractedly. Of course, but do you...
He's part of our team, Taylor says, and we'll take him to a world where he'll never find out what was true and what was nightmare. John, she swallows, would want him to be happy.
Rodney interrupts sharply. He's still listening. You need to stun him again.
This time, Ronan feels the world slide away from him for good, but he's heard enough. They're going to take away his home and make him run again. He'll find them, he vows to himself, and he'll make them all pay for turning on him. He'll start with Shepard.
The end.